Let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text is verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved in the Lord, Psalm 23 does not need much introduction. You have spent many hours in this psalm in your life. It's a psalm about the shepherd care of Jehovah for his sheep, penned by the psalmist David. We take verse 1 for our text. We do so for the Lord's Supper on this occasion because this text has to do with the provision of our shepherd for us as sheep. And what he does for us this morning at the table is he provides for us as our good shepherd. But I use Psalm 23, verse 1 also because this week has been a very hard week with many tears as we grieve concerning the death of a lamb of the congregation. And it's good for us, isn't it, on this Sunday morning to, in these circumstances, hear from a verse that we know so well, but so comforting and a good reminder for us too. And so we'll remember those circumstances and weave the comfort in light of those through the sermon as well. Let's hear this under the theme, Jehovah is my shepherd. In the first place, let's look at the shepherd-sheep relationship and what the shepherd does for those sheep. So shepherd and sheep. Second, having no lack. And then third, our confession. I think it's pretty obvious that we have a metaphor here. The Lord is using something from this life that we know very well, and he's using it to teach us about a spiritual reality. And the metaphor is of a shepherd and his sheep, these animals, these sheep. And in this relationship of the shepherd with the sheep, there are some things that the shepherd would do for them, ways that he would care for them. And there are three, four-letter words that we're going to use to describe what the shepherd would do for the sheep. Three four-letter words. And the first is that the shepherd, for these animals, would feed them. He would feed them. That's obviously what the sheep and the lambs needed. They needed to be led by the shepherd into the lush, thick, nutritious, green pastures where that flock could feed and their bellies could be filled and they could be content and satisfied having eaten. You might say that's primarily what these sheep need. They need food. And the shepherd would do that. The second duty of the shepherd, way that he would care for the sheep, is that he would lead them. Lead them. They would be in the enclosure at nighttime within their pen. And then the shepherd would call them out of that enclosure when the morning came. And they would be outside of the pen and he would lead them on wherever they needed to go. And if it was a dark, gloomy valley that they were traveling through, he would stand before them and lead them on. And if there was pasture, let's say, at the top of that valley, he would lead them up the hill and guide them in that way too. But he's always standing before them. And just in the nature of sheep, they need that, of course. Because they are of themselves just wandering off into foolish paths, getting lost and getting in all sorts of trouble. They always need that shepherd to stand before them. And the third word, besides feed and lead, is that the shepherd would keep the sheep in the sense of protecting them. And so, when the darkness would fall, he would have them go into this fenced-in area, this enclosure, and he would keep a very careful eye on the flock during nightfall to make sure that no robber would come in through the fence and steal one away, or to make sure a predator would not come in and seek to devour or make a mess of those sheep. And if a predator would come, whether at nighttime while they're in the enclosure or during the daytime while he's leading them on, the shepherd would make sure to go immediately to that robber or that beast and do all in his power to protect that flock from attack. And we know that about sheep too. They need that protection as well because, number one, they go off on their own way so foolishly, not even mindful most of the time of the dangers that they might get into when they leave the flock and go off on this path. But number two, sheep don't have big teeth, they don't have big horns, they can't run very fast, and so they're very defenseless animals. Don't get in the predator's way. The shepherd needs to protect them. And maybe you could summarize this relationship of the shepherd to the sheep in this way. These animals are very, very needy, and the shepherd knows all of their needs, and he meets them. That relationship in the world, on this earth, teaches us something about Jehovah, who is our shepherd, and his care for and what he does for us, his sheep. That's the reality. I want to begin here with a couple of identifications. When David talks about the shepherd, who is that shepherd? Well, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the name that we've become, I think, pretty familiar with over the course of a few sermons this past few weeks. But I don't hesitate to repeat it because it's so beautiful. Lord is Jehovah, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the shepherd, God himself. Jehovah, I am that I am, covenant God. And you're not very surprised, I don't think, that you would find this name in this psalm. because shepherd-sheep relationships so close. He always has his eye on them, and he's caring for them so personally. No surprise then that we would find the covenant name of God here brings his people unto himself and is their friend king and cares for them so personally in every way. Jehovah is the shepherd. But you have to finish that. Jehovah in Jesus Christ is the shepherd of his sheep. There are some times in the Bible where you come to a passage that must always be coupled together with another passage. And Psalm 23 is one of them. Children, if I ask you, what does Psalm 23 always supposed to go with? Your answer should be John 10. John 10. Verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Don't read Psalm 23 without remembering that identification. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd of his sheep. And of all of the things that he does for us, this is primarily what he wants to point us to. How does he care for the sheep and see to their needs? This way, verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As my Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. How much does Jesus Christ love us? This much, and you can't measure it, that he gave himself for us as an atonement for our sin and satisfied the justice of God. That's the supreme love of the shepherd, and that's how he cares for us, primarily. And he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and now, as our good shepherd is at the right hand of God, shedding upon us all of those blessings that he earned at the cross when he laid down his life, and he continues in every way to care for us and our needs at the right hand of God. Who is our shepherd? Jehovah in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the other identification is the sheep. And David is really talking about himself. We'll get to that. This is a personal confession, and he puts it upon our lips too. The Lord is my shepherd. Those sheep are the elect children of God, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, who have many needs. And I say that the sheep are the elect, really should say individually because it's personal, is the elect child of God because of the word sheep. That metaphor is used here. And when you read that word sheep in the Bible, immediately your thoughts ought to rush to election. That's the truth. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world in love. And I say this is an elect child of God because of that little word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. My. Which is to say, I belong to him. And the comforting thing is, I have belonged to him from eternity. He's chosen me. And I say that not only is this an elect child of God, but purchased with the blood of Christ, because that too comes out of that little word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him, not only in the sense that he's chosen me from before the foundation of the world, but he's purchased me with such precious blood, the blood of the good shepherd himself. I belong to him. And of course I say, elect child of God, purchased with the blood of Christ, who has many needs, because just like those animals have all sorts of things that the shepherd needs to do for them, so also do we. I know myself, you know yourself, and the good shepherd sees to it that he fills all of those needs that we have and cares for us. Now, mirror or parallel what a human shepherd would do for those animals now to what Jehovah does for us. And children, you remember those three four-letter words? The first one, feed. And if you should ask, what is the food that he gives to us? Here's something amazing. And this is where the metaphor really doesn't carry through so much. The human shepherd doesn't say, I am the food for these sheep. But Jesus Christ says that. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The shepherd himself, isn't that amazing? He's the all-nourishing, refreshing, filling bread of life for our hungry souls. And we understand something about that this morning too. We come to the table of the Lord, and what's he going to do for us there? He's going to feed us at his table. We're going to read it, but it's that little paragraph that comes right before we actually partake. And it goes this way. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The shepherd feeds us this morning. And lead. I don't know if there's any greater comfort than to know that the Good Shepherd stands before us every moment of our life before the sheep, but he also leads and he guides the little lambs of the congregation. And that's become very real to us this week. When he took a little lamb who he had been guiding all the years of that lamb's life. And then he brought that lamb home. What was Jehovah doing Monday morning? Simply continuing that leading and guiding, but bringing it, you might say, to its climax. He brought him home where he belongs. And what about us who are left? And we grieve. He continues leading and guiding and standing before us. And you know the promises of the Good Shepherd. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never, my sheep. And his guiding and leading of us is not aimless either. It's just here and here. He's always bringing us down that path to that same house. Purposeful guiding to glory. And you and I know we need that. Because apart from the Good Shepherd, here I go, and here I go, and here I go. Oh, down all sorts of paths of sin. Lord, lead me. Lead me. I can be so foolish. And then that third work of the shepherd for us, keep. Think of what Jesus Christ did at the cross already to our enemies that would seek to attack and devour us. He had waged a victorious warfare against them when he laid down his life for us, bruised the head of Satan, overcame the world, conquered sin, and he came to all of those swirling storms of God's wrath at the cross, and then he went down into that place of death and corruption called the grave, and then he arose out of that, And now Jesus Christ, as I indicated in my congregational prayer, Jesus Christ stands on the other side of the cross in the grave, and he victoriously proclaims, "It's different now, my people." And you may think in a radically different way of death and the grave. I've overcome them. I've taken the stinger out. That's what I've done to your enemies. The Good Shepherd protects. And even now, as he's in heaven, shields us, goes on before us, envelops us with his shepherd arms of power and love, preserving us and holding on to us until we come into that house which abides. And we need that too, because I don't always recognize those are predators. And even if I do intellectually, I still go toward them and I gravitate toward them because of my sinful nature. Guide, protect, protect. And even sometimes when I leave that flock and I go down that path, the Good Shepherd has to take those powerful arms of mercy and bring me back. And he does that for the straying sheep. And perhaps we can summarize all of these things this way. The sheep have needs, we have needs, and the shepherd knows them. Isn't that humbling? Jesus Christ knows all of your needs perfectly. And he knows them before you're even aware of them. And he knows how to address your needs in a perfect way, even if it's not the way you would want. And this week, the Good Shepherd visited Peace PRC. And he brought us into green pasture of trial. We would have never chosen, but he willed it for us. Because that's what he, in his boundless love and infinite wisdom, determined we needed. And because that was the particular green pasture he knew this flock must be led into at this time. I love Psalter number 56's versification of Psalm 23. "My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs, and I am blessed." What a faithful shepherd we have. And having him, we have no want. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." To put it negatively, as the text does, I have no lack. To put it positively, as we may put it, I have everything that I need. I've been richly provided for, and I'm content, I'm satisfied. And the metaphor fits very well here, doesn't it? When that human shepherd stands before the flock, and he does bring them into green pastures, and he does lead them, and he does keep them, those sheep can lie down on the grass. Sheep do not lie down. If there's anything that will panic them or get them worried, or if their needs are not being filled, they're running around. But when the shepherd cares for them, they lie down. And isn't that so true? The first part of the text is first, and the second part of the text is second. The second follows upon the first. The Lord is my shepherd. And when he does all of those things for me, feeding me and leading me and keeping me in the Lord Jesus Christ, I really can lie down and I can say I'm satisfied and I don't need anything else. That's the grand testimony of the supper. The bountiful spiritual provision of Jehovah for us. And we say, "I lack nothing." That's what the supper says to us this morning. You lack nothing. Now, when you think about that, that David said that, that seems strange at first. How can he say that? It doesn't seem to make any sense, because there are in this life fires and waters through which we pass. And there is death in the grave that not only faces our loved ones, but faces us. And there is crying and sorrow, and of course the presence of sin and the guilt we feel over our sins that we do commit every day. How can you say that there's no lack? Well, it might seem strange at first and something that doesn't make sense, but it makes all the sense in the world, and it's not strange at all. It's the truth. Because in the midst of those fires and waters, which there are, the scripture says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And even though there is death in the grave, that's a reality. We know that victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we have tears streaming down our face, and we grieve, and we're thrown down in sorrow, we know the promise of the Word of God, of what's coming in the future, not a maybe, but a will. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And even when I do struggle with my sin, which I do every day, and I feel that gnawing guilt, we know the gospel, which is, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the presence of the shepherd, the victory wrought by the shepherd, the promise of the shepherd, the blessing of the shepherd, and having all of those things and so much more, we can say, regardless of what's going on in our life, I have no lack. I have everything. And I think that the Lord uses adversity to remind us what our needs really are. I've been taught that this week, have you? There are so many things I thought I needed, and if I lacked them, I couldn't be happy. Things for us like popularity and money and workplace success and the approval of people and grades and possessions and toys. And the Lord, already starting on Monday, He just tore all that away from us. Don't look at those things. You don't need those things, as if you are missing them, you can't truly be satisfied. This is what you need. And I'm going to show you that. And sometimes I use even and often adversity to do that too, because I love you. You have a good shepherd. That's all. He cares for you and He loves you. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing you need. What a confession. What a confession we have this morning, beloved. And you'll notice that David does not simply, it is a fact what he's saying, but it's not merely a fact, as if he says, the Lord is the shepherd. But he says it as a confession, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A confession that we really do speak without any hesitation, for we know that He is my shepherd, and He will do all these things, and I really do have rich provision for the sake of Christ. That's a firm ground. And I say it without hesitation, because He's Jehovah who is able to do these things, and He's unchanging in His doing of them. And it's a confession we can speak spirit indwelt, born again, faith-filled sheep of the shepherd. You notice the certainty of what he says here too. It is, it's a certain confession. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the beautiful thing is, that's not only a definite thing for the present, but that's a certainty with regard to the future. I had no clue, and neither did you, last Sunday evening, what would befall us this week. We have no idea about the future. But this we do know, he will care for me. And I may say it with a certainty too. And it's a personal confession as well. The Lord is my shepherd. Of course he is that of Peace Congregation. But he is that also of you. And to say that, not only because the Word of God says that and you believe that, but you've experienced that. You know that in your heart. He really has fed me and led me and protected me. And now, we partake. And after the worship service, we leave that table where we're richly provided for and fed. And we say, with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we have been fed, nourished, and we pray that thou wilt also feed and nourish us at this table. Continue, good shepherd, to give to us that all-nourishing bread of life. Continue to lead us on and guide us. Show us the way in which we must go. And also lead us on to glory and protect us from all of our foes and preserve us unto our heavenly home. In Jesus' name and for his sake we make this prayer. Amen.